Welcome to Enduring Words with David Guzik, a daily devotional podcast brought to you by Enduring Word.
Today, I want to talk to you about how to make an apostle happy. And of course, the apostle I'm speaking about is the great apostle Paul. And I'm going to speak to you from his words to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, verses 2, 3, and 4. Let me read those verses to you. Paul said this, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Now, the verses following that section that I just read to you, that is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, it's a summit peak of Scripture. It's where Paul poetically and powerfully described the self-giving and others-centered nature and work of Jesus. But many people don't realize that Paul led his readers to that lofty height, not only so that they could admire the view, but also so that they would accomplish something among themselves. The Philippian Christians were dear friends of Paul, but they had a problem with quarreling, and they struggled to keep Christian unity. Paul gave this great explanation of Jesus' nature and work in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, to illustrate the directions that he gave in the passage that I quoted to you, Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Paul didn't hesitate to make a personal appeal in those verses. He said right there in verse 2, "Fulfill my joy." And that speaks of a personal request. Paul said, "Come together in this Christ-like unity because it will make the founding apostle of your church happy." Then he gave some specific details on how to make an apostle happy. First, he wrote, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition." You know, that's the first step to this kind of unity. In the flesh, we are often motivated by selfish ambition or conceit. Much of what we do is not done out of love for others, but out of our own desire for advancement or promotion. That is selfish ambition. Paul found it important to say selfish ambition. You see, not all ambition is selfish ambition. And there is such a thing as a good ambition to glorify God and to serve Him with everything we have. But selfish ambition always kills Christian unity. Then Paul wrote, "Let nothing be done through conceit." That's the second step to this kind of unity. Conceit is thinking too highly of oneself or of having an excessive self-interest and self-preoccupation. It could be more literally translated, empty glory. You see, a dictionary definition of conceit will say it's an excessively favorable opinion of one's own ability, importance, wit, and so forth. When we do things feeling that we are so important, so able, or so talented, we are out of God's will. We then work against the unity Paul pleads with us to have. The next step in this kind of a unity described in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 is, "In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Now, that is completely contradictory to the attitude of the world, because lowliness of mind was about the least attractive thing to the thinking of this world. The ancient Greeks considered lowliness of mind to be a fault, not a virtue. Their idea was that the powerful should show their power by imposing their will on others, and that you only stoop to serve someone else because you were forced to do it. Jesus turned all of that around, and he showed the glory of lowliness of mind. And as we esteem others better, we will naturally have a concern for their needs, for their concerns. This sort of outward-looking mentality naturally leads to a unity among the people of God. If I consider you above me, and you consider me above you, then a marvelous thing happens. We will then have a community where everyone is looked up to and no one is looked down on. Then Paul wrote, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Now that completes the thought. As we put away our selfish ambitions, our conceit, and our tendencies to be high-minded and self-absorbed, we will naturally have a greater concern for the interests and needs of other people. If we live this way, we would see a wonderful unity of the Spirit, and we would make the Apostle Paul happy. Far more importantly, we make God happy with that kind of humble living. May God guide us towards it, and may He guide us today.
Thanks for listening to Enduring Words with David Guzik. For more information about David's ministry, visit enduringword.com.